Last time on the Mad Streets of Unova, Vic busted out of prison and made himself a new friend. Now we turn our gaze to Violet and Princess Sprinkle. Whose boat did they end up on? Where are they now? Let's find out together on today's episode of The Mad Streets of Unova. Welcome to Backyard Bars. I am your GM this evening, Austin. We're back for a second, maybe third solo episode, depending on how I put these in order or whatever. This time I'm joined by Emily.
Hello. I'm Emily playing Violet. So excited for first official solo episode.
I really, really enjoy these, so I'm hoping that it goes well. And I think it will. So, I had mentioned before, at the end of the previous group episode, that you had kind of woken up and seen that you were in a boat with these two fishermen. And then you fall unconscious again. You wake up again. This time, you're in a bed, covered in a blanket. There is this crackling fire nearby you. I think it'd be behind you, up against the wall. Mm-hmm. But you appear to be in like a little cabin. There is this rug across the floor, covers a good chunk of the middle of this hut here. And then you see a door on the other side away from you.
Okay.
There is a man. He is on one knee and he is like poking the logs in the fireplace.
Well, that's terrifying. A man? Just in my cabin? Okay. Interesting. Do I see Princess Sprinkle anywhere?
Yes. She is curled up on this bundle of fabric. Maybe it's a blanket at your feet.
Okay. Violet's going to take a visible sigh of relief having sees that Princess Sprinkle is not just here, but seems to be okay and comfy cozy over here on her bundle of fabrics. Violet's going to kind of stretch her arms around and go try to get the attention of the man kneeling, right?
Yeah.
Say something
You're like waving to him or?
No, I think she would say something like, "Hi, can I, where am I?"
Oh, hey, you're finally awake.
How long have I been asleep?
A few hours, maybe. I don't know how long you were out before we found you.
Okay.
I think I should maybe describe him. I think he is in his mid to late 30s. He has this brown hair that's kind of cropped short on the sides, but it's a bit longer over the top, and he's got kind of the Ned Flanders mustache.
Love that.
He is wearing the same outfit that you briefly saw, except he's taken off the jacket and you can see it hanging up by the door. What were you doing out there, miss?
Well, it's kind of a long story. You said you found me.
That's right. You got tangled up in our nets and we pulled you up. We thought we had quite a haul.
So it was sorry you. To disappoint. Interesting. You didn't happen to see anyone else, did you?
No, just you and your friend here. And he nods at Princess Sprinkle.
Yes, that would be Princess Sprinkle. And she's okay. And Violet's going to kind of go to her now and just kind of she's sleeping, right? She doesn't want to really disturb her, but...
Oh, yes. She woke up before you did. She would not leave your side, so...
Oh. Well, thank you so much for, you know, kind of watching out over us and, you know, making sure we woke up all right. What was your name?
Charles. But you can call me Chuck if you'd prefer.
Charles Chuck. Okay, Chuck. Well, thank you so much. Where exactly are we? So I can just reorient myself a bit here.
We're in a small little village just south of Verbank.
Ah, interesting. Now, what I know geography. Can I get a map?
You can pull it from the map if you like, but I can just tell you Verbank is on the other side of the archipelago / river from Castalia, on the west side.
Oh, okay, on the west side. Okay. Okay, man, that seems to be kind of far away. That's okay. Okay, so you asked what I was doing out there. Well...
Yeah, where are you from? I never seen you before.
Well, you know, it's quite, like I said, it's quite a long story of how I ended up in your net here, but I am from Striaton. I am a university student professor. What is it? What are they called? What am I?
Floated here from Striaton?
Well, you see, I was in Castalia City on school business, you know. And okay. I was kind of working with this team, and we were over in the docks, and we were kind of uncovering some strange happenings in the water when I must have just gotten a bit lost and tangled up in your net. So.
There was a mighty storm day before.
Yeah, it seems to be every time I get in the water, there's a storm, of course. You know how it is.
Oh, that sounds like bad luck to me.
Yeah, extremely bad luck. Well, Chuck, I hope I wasn't really keeping you, you know, like, away from your other duties. Again, I really appreciate all your help.
Oh, no, it's nothing. Are you feeling okay? Can I get you anything?
You know, I feel like I'm a little bit hungry. So if you could just direct me perhaps to the nearest Pokemart or somewhere I can get a little snack.
Oh, we have fish. We could cook you something.
Oh, I hate to impose. You've already done so much, Chuck.
Well, the nearest store is probably Verbank.
And I'm imagining that's quite a walk.
Oh, yes, certainly. Several miles
away. Of course. Okay. Well, if you're sure you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. I imagine Lawrence will be back soon.
Lawrence, is that your friend? Companion?
Husband.
Husband! Aw! Sorry. That's so sweet. Lawrence, oh, well, I don't know what to say. Thank you so much for not only offering me, you know, this protection these past several hours, but now a meal? Whatever can I do to repay you?
Oh, there's no fee. We only did what we were told to do.
Say that again, what you were told to do. What do you mean by that?
We...
Chuck?
We are, I would say, a little stitious. And yes. And so the soothsayer is in town. And we went to go to see her and see if the fishing was good. And she said that we would have heavy nets. And when we went to pay her for her reading, she said for us to bring some of our catch to her. And now that we've brought you in, I think that's what she meant.
Bring in some of that to her, as in bring what you want to bring me to the soothsayer?
If that's what you want. If you don't, I know it's fine, but...
I just, you know, I really appreciate all the help, you know. I just don't, you know, I really need to find the rest of my team, and I need to somehow figure out how I'm going to make my way back to Castilia. So I don't know.
Maybe we can take you back to Castilia, or even she could. She's on a boat.
Okay, fine, I guess. Sure, I'll go see this soothsayer, but only because y'all have been so nice and helping me and Princess Sprinkle over here.
Truly, I don't believe we'd have been out there without her guidance.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Well, first, I think we should definitely eat before we go.
I think he busts out like a pan, and he goes outside, and I think they maybe have some fish lined up that they've been like cleaning and stuff. And so he brings one in, and he starts cooking it for you.
And as he's cooking, can I just kind of like look around, you know, what is there anything that kind of sticks out to me about this cabin beyond what
it's very Spartan. It's basically like the one room cabin. There's no private bedroom or anything like that. On the far end from the fireplace is where like the air quotes like kitchen and stuff would be.
Pretty cozy cabin you got here, Chuck.
Oh, thank you. We built it ourselves.
Oh, you and Lawrence?
That's right.
That's nice.
It's been 15 years, something like that.
Oh, congratulations. Is this just like a fishing cabin for the two of you, or do y'all live around here?
This is more or less our home.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's not much, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, that's nice. Do you have any Pokemon?
Oh, yeah. That'd be Tucker. He's out with Larry right now.
Well, I can't wait to meet them.
Sure. And I think it's not long before the two of them turn up. Lawrence comes in, and I think he is like, he's a bit like stockier. He's got dark hair, and he's got like all this like stubble. He hangs his jacket up, and this little bird flits in through the door and lands on top of their little coat rack. It's this little like yellow and black bird. It's a Watchrel. It's a little little electric bird from Scarlet Violet.
Oh, electric bird, you say?
It's good for fishing.
Oh, you must be Tucker. Come here, little birdie.
Yeah, I think it flutters over and lands on like the bedpost, and it's just like kind of like hopping around excitedly and like looks at you.
Oh. Princess Sprinkle's gotta love you.
Yeah, I think the commotion for sure would probably wake Princess Sprinkle at this point.
Yes, yes. Hey girl, are you okay? She's gonna like give her.
I think some she hug. Like floats she like yeah, she floats into your arms and you hold her.
Oh, I'm just gonna give her a nice reassuring hug. Like, even though all this craziness that has happened the past couple days to now and just being in this place, it's just very comforting to have.
Yeah, I think you kind of like can kind of like feel the worry, the anxiety, and then ultimately the relief from her.
And you must be Lawrence.
That's right. He comes up and offers his hand. And your name, miss?
Violet.
Violet.
From Striaton.
Wonderful. You look like you're doing well. You've gotten some of your color back.
Yes, thank you. I can't thank you and Chuck enough for saving us and bringing us back here and kind of watching over us as we woke back up. That means so much to do all that.
Well, it wasn't the plan, but as soon as we saw you, we knew.
Yeah, that's what Chuck was saying. He was mentioning a soothsayer.
Oh, Yes, that's one of Chuck's things.
Oh, you don't believe in as well?
Well, I didn't, but it's hard to argue with the result looking at you.
Yeah, it's pretty wild what she was saying, and then, you know, for me to show up in your nets. But I mean, if I wouldn't have shown up in your nets, I don't know what would have happened to me and Princess Sprinkle over here.
Indeed. I fear for the worst.
Yeah. Me too.
Chuck is going to like prepare a little plate for you with some I don't know, salmon. What's a good fish to use? I don't know. Let's go with salmon.
Salmon. Wouldn't salmon be in rivers? Trout, perhaps? Well, I guess it's trout river fish too. What's an ocean fish?
tuna? It's a tilapia. I don't know.
Tilapia. There you go. Mahi mahi. Okay. Thank you again. It really means a lot, you know, y'all just doing this for a complete stranger and just taking us in.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, you know, after what I've seen these past couple weeks, I do not know how easy it is for people to just do the right thing anymore. So y'all are both fishermen.
More or less, yes. More by necessity than trade.
Sure.
Gotta put food on the table.
I understand that. Well, thank you. Again. And she's gonna get to her food.
Do you think Princess Sprinkle wants any? Do you think she cares about that? What does she eat?
I think it's gonna look a little rustic for old Princess Sprinkle, if you know what I mean.
I mean, there's some truth to that, for sure.
You know, I think she's gonna kind of look at it and kind of shrivel up her little snout, you know, and kind of act like she doesn't want it. She's too good. It's not, you know, good for her. But yes, exactly. But I think hunger is going to win out, and she will eventually nimble.
Yeah, like she turns her nose up at it. She doesn't want it, but she watches you eat, and she's like, you like hear her like tummy rumble, and she's like, all right.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Do what you have to.
Yes.
You hold your nose and you eat it, as it were.
Princess Sprinkle, don't worry. As soon as we're back in the city, we'll be sure to get you a nice cup of sprinkles.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you well enough to travel? How do you feel?
I think I am up to get going. You know, I want to take it slow, but I do want to get back to the rest of my party. You know, I want to get back to the rest of my team before too long.
Of course, of course. I'm sure the university is worried sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think Chuck offers to help you up if you need it. But otherwise, walk on your own. You step out of the hut and you're hit by the salty air. You hear the sounds of the waves. You can look out and see that you're on this beach. The house is, you know, a few steps back from it, but has easy access to the water. There are several other little docks every so often over here. And then you turn back behind you inland, and you can see that there's a collection of other huts around. Mm-hmm. Presumably where other people live here. But it's all, like you said, pretty rustic.
Imagine Violet's going to be looking out at the waves, and it's going to kind of get a bit lost, you know, after everything that just happened out in the water, and really a lot of the events that have happened specifically in the water. I think she is just going to kind of get lost in some of those recollections, you know, right now that she's had a minute to kind of rest, catch her breath, eat something. It's just kind of like all kind of hitting her as she's looking out at the water.
I think it's like mid-morning maybe. So it's been maybe 8 to 12 hours, assuming that it's only been a single day and not two.
All right, Chuck and Lawrence, where is the soothsayer?
They point down the beach, and you can see this boat. I think it stands out because it doesn't look like a fishing boat, but it's at one of the little docks.
Okay. And as I guess Violet's going to start walking towards it. Is Chuck and Lawrence coming with, right? We're all going together.
I think they're like, we can escort you if you'd like, or if you want to make your way on your own, whatever you're comfortable with.
Well, don't you think, you know, you should see this? Wasn't it her that gave you the message to bring back?
Okay, you're right, of course.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you get your full money's worth, you know?
I think Larry takes a couple of the fish that they brought in and, like, wraps it up and gives it to Chuck. He's like, take this just in case it's not the good. And he takes the bundle of fish and he's going to go with you.
Can't wait to see what she says about me coming up in your nets.
Something tells me that she won't be surprised.
Mm.
But you and Chuck take a short stroll down a long beach until you reach this little dock, and he walks along it alongside you. You can see that it is a kind of a crescent-shaped boat. It's got like a kind of like a point coming up in the front, and then most of the bulk is at the back, and then it's got like a flared top that makes it look like a crescent moon.
That's nice.
So it has the big rotary paddles on each side. That's presumably how it powers itself. It has the big lantern hanging from the front. And then the main body of it is this enclosed space.
Okay, and I think Violet is definitely taking it in. I think Violet, kind of going, preparing herself to meet the soothsayer, I think she's had her own kind of experiences with things that she couldn't explain. And so I think she usually tends to be skeptical, overly skeptical of these things at first as a defense mechanism, because she's has a certain fear of like, okay, well, am I ready to like really open, you know, kind of her mind.
Before you approach the boat, I actually want to take a second and ask. So you mentioned that she has experience with things she can't explain, right? Was your meeting with Muna, was that like the first one, or were there more before when you were younger?
I like to think that she had experiences when she was younger, but Muna was her first, like, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really said for certain, like, what kind of experiences she had, but I think it was enough to make her question, but then Muna is kind of propelling her into action and is really causing her to enter more into that world than perhaps her previous experiences. Sure. Her previous experiences, I think, she might have even had some more intense ones, even tangible ones, but I think it was more so just kind of got her thinking more than it ever kind of like caused her to do something about it.
Okay. So draped over the side of the boat is this sign. It looks like basically it gets draped over and then rolled back up depending on when it needs to be deployed. And it says, Maisley the Marvelous.
All right. This must be it.
Yes. And Chuck steps aboard. And I assume that you are either lockstep with him or just behind him.
Yes.
I believe that there is probably a bell or something just to make sure that you announce your presence. So he's going to give it a ding, 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 ding. And you hear a voice, come in. And Chuck brushes the curtain aside and enters.
Okay.
And what you see is this low table. And there's not like chairs, but there are large cushions that you would like kneel or squat on or whatever. And then there's all of these candles lit in the corners. And then there's like, I imagine kind of like a dream catcher or something similar. And then there's like crystals and stuff in like these, they're kind of put together inside of these pots basically. And they're kind of spread out. And so it's got this, this real ambience to it. And then on the far wall from where you enter, there's like a bookshelf, and you can see the spines on the books. They seem to deal mostly with the occult, witchcraft, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then there's a ladder that climbs up that bookshelf into other spaces that You can't really see from inside of this room, but you can guess based on the shape of the boat that it goes up to the upper levels.
This is a beautiful boat you have.
Thank you. And you can see that there's a woman here. She's dressed in these green and purple and yellow, a very colorful robe. She's wearing a mask over her face, but you can see her eyes. And then she has this long black hair that's done up very ornately. She has like it's like jade. I don't know what they're called. I don't have hair. But they used to hold your hair in place.
Oh, like a hair comb or a clip.
Mm-hmm. Like a hair comb or a clip. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. A mask. Okay.
Yeah, just over the nose and mouth. You can see that her eyes are violet.
Okay.
She nods to Chuck. He extends the bundle of fish, and she's like, thank you, thank you. And she takes it, and she's going to, like, set it aside, out of the way. Mm-hmm. You can go. And Chuck nods, and he turns and leaves. Well, actually, I think he nods to you and says, you're in good hands.
Thank you. Thank you again, Chuck and Lawrence, too.
Best of luck. And if you need a trip back to the mainland, you know where to find us.
Okay, thank you.
And he leaves. And you can feel him step off the boat.
So, you must be Maisley, the Marvelous.
That I am. Very nice to meet you.
Yes. Nice to meet you. I'm sure you're wondering what I'm doing here.
I really am. I only see flashes, so.
Yeah, well, funny story, apparently. That fisherman, Chuck, that just brought you the fish. Yeah, him and his partner, husband, Lawrence, they somehow fished me up out of the water, and they said that actually a message from you was to bring to you what they caught, and what do you know, they happened to catch me on that fishing trip. So
as foretold, I told them they would have heavy nets. I think that if I had told them that it was you and not a load of fish, they might have been disappointed.
Well, you know what, I am not disappointed that they were there, because thankfully, they saved me and my partner here, Princess Sprinkle. But anyways, so funny story. Who would have thought that they would have caught a human and her Pokemon? But that was me. So that was it. I'm gonna probably head back to the city here soon.
Now tell me, what can I do for you?
What can you do? I mean, what can you do? You know, a lot has been kind of going on lately, and I don't really know if there's anything anyone can do right now.
You feel lost?
A bit, I would say.
I can see it in your eyes. This is not where you saw yourself going.
Not exactly, no, especially not here, but in general, either, I would say.
Give me your hand. She holds her hand out over the table to you.
Okay. I do need to say, Miss Maisley, I don't have any funds. I just got washed up here, you know? I gotta go find the rest of my teammates, and so I'm sorry. I really appreciate everything you and the fishermen have done, but I don't have any money to give for a reading. I would hate to disrespect you, you know.
It is not disrespect to take what is freely given.
Okay, sure. Fine. She's going to kind of reach out her hand.
Are you like taking her hand, or are you just holding your hand out and letting her take yours?
I'm kind of holding it out, letting her take it.
She takes your hand. And you feel this kind of jolt of energy between you. Share with me a brief childhood story, like a memory that that Violet has from when she was young.
When Violet was very little, there was one summer where her parents loved to take her. They loved to be outside. They had to work a lot, but this particular summer, she remembers, they would take her to kind of the cliffside area, kind of away from Striaton a bit. And there was one particular afternoon when she was on this picnic with her parents, and she was kind of wandering around, exploring. She was just really feeling at peace and at ease. The wind was kind of rustling, and she could hear the waves in the distance. And she remembers, you know, just feeling really comforted in that time. And as she was kind of wandering around, she noticed this really pretty kind of butterfly type insect, and it just kind of caught her attention, and she was kind of chasing it, you know, and was trying to grab it because it just looked so beautiful and unique, and she was a curious child, and she wanted to know more, and she kind of got a bit carried away following the butterfly and wandered a bit too far away from her parents, and she wasn't paying attention because she was so transfixed by this butterfly that she didn't notice the cliff edge as she was approaching. And in kind of a startled, like, she could have taken just a few more steps and it could have been really bad for her, but then it kind of stopped, and all that beautiful kind of meadowy cliffside area, it just drops off to the ocean, you know, and the waves kind of crashing against the cliff. And she felt like she was kind of lost in a trance for a minute. And then she kind of woke up at that, you know, right before the danger. And that has just always kind of stuck with her, because she didn't realize how far she had gone, you know. And then she was scared. You know, she almost got herself hurt. She was away from her parents. And so she was able to make it back. But that was just a very sensory experience for her, too.
Sure. And the danger of it really makes it stand out in your memory.
Yes.
How old do you think Violet was back then, roughly?
I would say she was like probably about 6 or 7.
You see one in return. Mm-hmm. You see a young boy. I'm going to say 11, 12 years old. He is traveling through the forest, and he gets very lost in his thoughts. He likes to daydream, and he is rocked out of it by the sounds of this shrill bird screech, this bird call. He runs to go investigate, and he finds this small bird Pokemon. It's green and yellow and red and white, very, very small. And it's gotten itself caught in a hunter's trap. And the boy, he frantically pulls the trap apart to free this bird, and the bird starts to hop around, and he can tell that it's in bad shape. And you see him take this bird in. He really feels for this bird. His like emotional reaction is very strong to seeing this bird injured, and that's where it ends. And Maisley pulls her hand back. I think kind of surprised. I don't think she was expecting that exchange. Or at least she's only expecting it to go one way.
Who was that?
I think that, like, after this touch and the jerking the hand back, there's like this kind of psychic, like, pulse. Like, the energy in the room, like, noticeably changes. And there was, like, a figure in the corner that looked like a totem. It moves for the first time since you've walked in. It looks like a bird. It's just standing there with its wings folded in. And it turns to look at you, and it unfurls its wings. And it exposes these red eyes on its body. And I think you might jump a little bit at that, because what you see in the corner is a Zatu.
I was just thinking, who's that Pokemon?
I think Maisley turns and is like, Coco, please, calm down. It's fine.
Is that the Pokemon from the vision?
What did you see?
I saw what looked like a young boy in a forest, and it looked like he was saving this Pokemon. It looked like a small, maybe like a early evolution of this one.
It is not common for me to encounter another with the sight. You saw true. You saw me.
The sight?
She points at her forehead.
I'm sorry. What do you mean, the sight?
You can see things as they are, but also how they were, how they will be.
So that vision I saw, that was you?
You saw into my past.
But I don't understand. How did I do that?
It's something you were born with.
I'm sorry. I need to sit. You have some water or anything?
Yes. I feel like maybe she has like a decanter or something, and she pours you a bit and hands you a glass.
Did you see anything from me?
I saw a young girl distracted by butterflies.
Yeah.
I take it that was you. That is not new to me. I have seen things like this before.
But me seeing that, that's not as common?
If you will, I would like to do a reading for you.
Okay, sure.
It might be enlightening. And perhaps I can tell you more of my story.
Okay.
Maisley produces this deck of cards and begins to shuffle. The candles in the corner of the room begin to flicker and dim, and her irises begin to glow this faint purple. She offers the deck to you to cut, and after you do so, she begins to draw cards, one at a time, arranging them in a spread in front of her, between you. She flips over the first card. This card represents you and your current struggle. And she places it. The Hermit reversed. The Hermit's domain is retreating in order to gain knowledge. The reversal of this card suggests that you are isolated. You're experiencing hardship. The only way forward is by learning. But it's knowledge of the self, not of externalities. She draws the next card and lays it perpendicular on top of the Hermit reversed. This is what challenges you. The Knight of Wands. You've had adventure thrust upon you. You have purpose or passion, but Wands suggests also a level of recklessness. You lack direction that you need to succeed at the task ahead of you. She flips over the next card and places it. What is below you? The Eight of Swords. You've been trapped, imprisoned. for a long time. Swords relates to the mind, indicating that this imprisonment is mental, not physical. She draws the next card, flips it, and places it. What lies behind you? The Six of Cups, reversed. You've recently struck out on your own, left your loved ones behind. This card represents nostalgia. However, the reversal of this card casts a shadow over your past. The times that you yearn for may not exist. She draws the next card and flips it over and places it. What is above you? The Sun, reversed. This card, reversed, represents a bleak future. It is an ill omen. Not merely for your inner child, but also the world at large. It represents a fate best avoided. And she draws the final card, flips it, and places it. What lies ahead of you? The Ten of Pentacles. This is a positive card. It speaks to claiming a future, an inheritance, a legacy. Tens signify the end of one journey and the beginning of another. The loss of a home, but the gaining of another. It is a hard-earned end to a long road. She gestures to all of the cards as a whole. Broadly, looking at all of these cards together, it speaks to someone who stands on the precipice of internal upheaval, one that will change you forever. But if you lead with courage and honesty, it can lead to bigger and better things.
May I? She's asking if she can pick up the, if she can touch the cards.
Of course. She lets you pick them up.
She's going to, Violet's going to pick up the Ten of Pentacles specifically.
Yeah, sure.
And kind of hold it up and look at it.
Yeah, the art indicates like a kind of web. You see all these faces are arranged. There's 10 of them, of course, because it's the Ten of Pentacles. And they're all connected by these vines. It kind of indicates your family tree, that your heritage, your inheritance is from your family.
My family is just researchers at a lab. I don't really know of any family heritage, you know?
The cards suggest that is not the case. You come from powerful blood.
She kind of puts the card down. That would be something, wouldn't it? Us coming from powerful blood. Well, these cards are beautiful, I have to say, Maisley. But I really appreciate you taking the time to do this reading for me. I don't really know what I'm supposed to learn from it, besides to heal these inner conflicts, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little waterlogged from some of my recent events.
I am encouraged by what I see. I see incredible untapped potential.
Well, that sure would come in handy right now, I'll tell you that. But maybe.
There is a place not far that allows people like us to seek guidance from a higher power. I think that it would be good for you.
Us with the sight, you mean?
Yes.
Well, where is this place?
A couple of miles south, maybe. Deep in the woods. There's a lake. There used to be a community there, but no longer.
And if, let's say, I did want to go and just, you know, see what it had to offer, what should I do? Should I just show up at this lake. Say I have the sight. You know.
If it wants you to enter, it will be open. And if it doesn't, it won't.
Maisley, this sun card in the reverse is... Do you think there's any way to change that outcome?
To me, the cards are suggesting that you taking this power, this inheritance, will either steer away from it or lead to it.
I see. Well, Maisley, I thank you so much for doing this for me. I've never had something quite like that. And even if I don't quite understand it all, I definitely can tell that something is happening.
I wish you all the best. I don't stay in any town for too long, so you might not see me again, but look to any port and I might be there.
I will. Thank you.
And you leave, I assume?
Yeah, I think Violet is going to kind of get up, motion for Princess Sprinkle. And as I think she is exiting, she says, so which way was that? Were those woods, you said?
To the south.
Just look for a bunch of woods, right?
Follow the beach until you reach an inlet, and you should be able to follow the brook.
Okay, well, thank you, Maisley the Marvelous. And Violet's going to bow.
She bows in return. It's very over the top.
And you, very majestic bird.
Yeah, so I think Coco lets out this like kind of growl. You've played Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, right?
Yes.
you know yeah. the little growl noise that the bird enemies make? I imagine yes. It's sounding just like that.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Wind Waker is my favorite.
It's also mine, so.
Yes. All right, Princess Sprinkle. So I know what you must be thinking. How could we possibly be yet again going off the path? But I guess we should go check out this inlet, these woods, this lake, right? I mean, Maisley kind of seems like... Violet is clearly kind of having like a... She's having a moment here with Princess Sprinkle.
You've been given a lot of information in a very short amount of time. And I imagine you're just trying to square it all with what you know, what you remember about yourself. So
that's exactly right. I feel like she is just trying to process this out loud verbally to Princess Sprinkle, who is probably just looking at her like, okay, whatever you say.
Yeah, I feel like she like nudges your arm and you just kind of feel like this warmth and reassurance. Like,
okay,
Princess Sprinkle's got your back, whatever this looks like.
And she is going to take some, Violet's going to take some comfort in that. And, you know, that's definitely, she just keeps getting those kind of reassurances, that comfort from Princess Sprinkle. So, right. Let's go check out these woods. Let's see what Maisley was talking about. Perhaps this can help us with whatever was happening back on those docks.
You go for a hike, and you reach the inlet, and then you start heading inward. And I think it's been mentioned before, but you know, the fall festival is right around the corner. You know, it's autumn, and so the forest is stunning. The leaves are all orange and yellow and red, and they haven't really started dropping too much yet. So you're like in that sweet spot where the trees are fully leaved, but the ground is not covered in the leaves yet. And then, of course, like the brook slash creek just bubbling along. It's this really just pleasant noise.
And it sounds like, you know, Violet, as she's kind of taking in all these sights and sounds, it's really just giving her some of that kind of childlike wonder, you know, and just making her really feel like just a bit carefree in this moment, you know, just really getting to enjoy nature. It's been a while since she's just been able to enjoy the nature around her.
That's right.
And not be terrified of it.
You are undisturbed the whole trip.
Okay.
And you arrive at this lake, and the area opens up. It's a fairly sizable lake, I think. And the water is crystalline. It's so clear to the point where you can't tell how deep the lake is. And but yeah, so you arrive at this lake and you see it. And then on the far end of the lake from you, you see this dilapidated church. It's out over the lake. It's on stilts. It's kind of a triangular shaped building. And then it has this spire at the far end that's out over the lake. You can see that, like, there's all of this, like, algae buildup and stuff on the stilts. You can tell that this area has not been maintained. No one's been around in quite a while. And the wall of the church that faces you when you enter is basically fully stained glass under the roof. It's like a triangular hunk of stained glass. And it depicts this this mountain scene with the sun at the top, and then the bottom is a lake, and then there are these three colorful orbs arranged in a triangle in the center. And from your perspective, you would see the yellow at the top, pink on the right, blue on the left. These orbs. I think religion is a skill. It's been a little bit stuck to the skill list. I think that's one of the ones you can roll.
What is it? No.
It's not. Okay. Maybe occult is the way to go. Occult or
history.
History might work too. Or no, yeah, history might be the way to go. Let's do history.
Okay, I actually have points in history, so there you go.
That's good. Yeah. Ooh,
okay. It's been a while since I've rolled. I'm like, what dice do I use? Okay. Oh my god. Okay. Well, it's an 87, and I need a 65. So I think I'm gonna push it. What's the harm in pushing it in this setting? Right?
So how I'm probably gonna do it is, it's treated like a critical failure. You might get incorrect information, or something bad might happen to you.
If I push it and fail?
Yes, that's right.
I'm gonna push it. I'm gonna really stare at that stained glass. Oh god. Okay, that was much better. So before I said I get it, 87? Okay. No, I did 19, so okay, I definitely got it this time.
Sure. So you would know that this church is for what's called the Lake Guardians. It was is basically a religious faith that centers on kind of the mastery of yourself internally.
Of course, mastery of self. Is the Church of Light Guardians, is this like an older religion? Is this a current, what I know if it's like a current modern religion?
So I think at this point it's probably kind of niche. Like it exists, but it would be difficult to support a full community of it, especially segregated from the population like this seemed to be.
Right. It's kind of out there. Is it common to see like places like this within that, like religious artifacts or churches or buildings, you know, like from this religion? Or would Violet be pretty shocked to like recognize where this has come from? Or
I wouldn't say uncommon. I kind of think of it like, if you go around the rural southeast, you're going to see the remains of a lot of churches. It's probably not that dense, but it's not it's not unexpected, I would say.
Gotcha. I wonder if that's what Maisley was referring to. This is that lake, and if I'm maybe supposed to, I don't know, go in that building, see that building? Princess Sprinkle?
Hmm.
Right, of course. Okay. And I want to say, Violet, it's going to kind of look around the lake, kind of walk around the lake a bit. Does she see, like, an easy way to get over to that church? Is it just a matter of...
If you just walked all the way around, you could, yeah.
Okay, she's going to start walking, I think, around the lake.
You start strolling around the edge, and there is kind of like a small, like, offshoot of it, of the lake, if that makes sense. Like, you'd have to, almost like you'd have to walk around that to get back to the edge of the lake and keep going, that type of deal. And as you walk up to it, you hear, like, sloshing and gurgling of water. And this little offset, the water drains from it of its own volition until it's empty, and you see this hole in the floor of this area. It goes underground.
Okay, interesting. Well, Princess Finkel, that sure looks like it's opening in some way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Am I really about to just walk out into this draining water hole because a soothsayer in a place that I just washed up on the shore told me to? Okay. Is this really happening to me? Okay. Right. You know, might as well. I'm here. Let's just do it.
I think Princess Sprinkle, like, nipples at you, like, trying to, like, pinch you.
Okay, I'm going. Okay, here we go. And Violet's going to walk out into this.
It's kind of slick around the edges. But once you reach the opening, it's like compacted. It's very very solid. And it descends, and you can kind of see, it's dark, but you can kind of see that this goes down up under the lake.
Does it look like a very far drop from what I can see?
A far drop? Not a drop.
Right?
No. It's an incline. Yeah.
An incline. Oh, I see. Okay. I think Violet's going to cautiously proceed.
Yeah, I think that Muna kind of hesitates at the opening when she looks down and just sees the yawning darkness beneath. But she lights her head, like, I think she knows that you're about to do. She wants to see in the dark too. Okay, it's not just.
And Violet's gonna turn to Princess Sprinkle and just kind of lay her hand kind of on her cheek, and she's gonna say, "I know this is kind of crazy and it looks really scary down there, but we've seen a lot of scary stuff lately, and I think we owe it to the guys to try and do whatever we can to help so that when we get back to them and we figure out our next steps, we can actually help in some way, you know, instead of just standing there. Anyways, yeah, I think we need to do this."
I think she just, like, puts on, like, her game face. She looks determined.
"We can do this. Me too." And Violet's going to have renewed determination as well. And is going to turn towards.
It fills you with determination.
Yes.
Yes. And you descend. And you travel for a ways. You're not really even sure how long. Like, gauging the distance, like, all you can see is this bright hole up from where you came. And the further in you get, the harder it is to tell how far away it is. But you finally reach a landing. And there's this pool here directly in front of you, and then you can see directly ahead of you, as well as to your left and right, there are these glowing crystals. Directly ahead of you, the crystals glow yellow. To your left, they glow pink. And to your right, they glow blue.
Okay. And so Violet knows what each of these colors mean.
Since you succeeded on your roll, you're going to get that, all that information. Yeah.
Okay. Well, these certainly look like the crystals of the Lake Guardians. I know that she's kind of saying this to, you know, that yellow has to do with knowledge and pink emotions, and that leaves blue with willpower. I think we're supposed to pick one of these directions, but how am I supposed to know which one to pick? And if I mess this up, will this change the course of everything? How am I supposed to know which one to pick? Princess? When
I think Sprinkle is, she's just kind of looking at each of them curiously, but she doesn't seem to, I think she might linger on the pink one a little bit because she's pink, but otherwise, I don't know that she gives a clear direction.
I think, you know, there's definitely reasons for each of these. I think Violet knows that truly you need a balance of these three pillars, you know, to, like, they each serve their own importance, you know, and so her having to make this decision.
You think any of them define Violet specifically?
I think that Violet I think she definitely could improve in her emotional intelligence of sorts, but that doesn't feel like something, she doesn't necessarily feel led down that path right now. Like, she doesn't feel really like that's what's really going to help in her current situation. She's tempted to go to willpower because she feels like she could use some of that, you know? She is kind of thinking about some of these past events, and while she's certainly doing a lot more and she's trying to give herself credit, she also feels a little bit powerless and a little bit like stuck. And it seems like the dangers are just getting larger. So she thinks maybe having some guidance and willpower will help. But I think ultimately she's going to go down the yellow path towards knowledge, because if there's anything, Violet is on the pursuit of knowledge. And she's hoping that perhaps knowledge in this time will help, because there's a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of unknowns. And so perhaps if she just trusts her gut and do what she always does, curious for knowledge, that will help her now as well.
So you cross this little chamber to the tunnel marked with yellow crystals. Mm-hmm. And you proceed through. And it seems like they kind of react to your presence, and they kind of light up as you go and kind mm-hmm. of light the tunnel with you. And you travel a short ways before you reach a pool. It's pretty small, but it's this little kind of circular chamber with the pool in the center. And the crystals, they go, like, they move toward, like, the lighting of the crystals goes, travels to the pool, and then they wink out. And then you see this yellow orb rise up out of the water. And you hear a small voice.
Drink in pursuit of knowledge.
Violet's going to kind of stare at the water a bit. Is the water reflective at all? Or is
Yes, very much so. And it's throwing this yellow light all over the walls, and you can see, like, the movement of the water makes it kind of scintillate in a way.
Okay. And as I'm looking at the water, am I just seeing my reflection back at me?
As well as the yellow orb that's floating over the water.
All right, Violet's going to take a deep breath in the pursuit of knowledge, and she's going to drink.
You have a vision. It starts with, from your perspective, you. Running through a field, running into the forest, pursuing a butterfly. You blink, you open your eyes. You are on your back, you're being held by a woman. She looks down at you, she has violet eyes, she has long black hair. You blink, you open your eyes. you see your parents. You are inside Trinity Energy Lab. You're in a room. You're playing with toys. The room where, you know, where they put you when they're working on stuff. You know, you see prison bars, and through those bars, you see this wall with the dome-shaped light, and then there is this wadded-up piece of cloth on the floor underneath it. You blink, you open your eyes. You see an enormous stone serpent made of these black rocks. You blink, you open your eyes. You see a white tower, and atop that tower, a bell. You blink, you open your eyes. You see the ruins of a building in the middle of the forest, and smoke billows from the ruins. You blink. You open your eyes. You see this black obelisk yet again, but you see it more fully. You see it inside of a cavern. You see these other stones floating around it. You blink. You open your eyes. You are laying face down, and you feel water lap up against your legs. You look around. You are back up at the lake. You and Princess Sprinkle.
All right, Violet is going to kind of catch her breath. Look around, kind of take in her surroundings. Okay. That's fine. As Princess Sprinkle, I think we need to go.
Where do you go from here?
I think after waking up at the lake, Violet is just, like, the mind. She's not necessarily running away from all the thoughts that are coming into her mind after seeing that vision and after this experience at the lake. But I think she is definitely, she doesn't know how to process it. You know, she doesn't know how to process some of these ideas that are coming into her head, especially seeing some of those glimpses from her childhood. So I think she definitely has a sense of urgency to get back, but not because she's running away, but because she is ready to lean into it and learn more. You know, she's ready to, okay, figure out what does this all mean and how does she obviously must play some kind of part, however big or small. So she's going to find old Chuck and Lawrence. I'm ready to go back to Castalia now. And first, though, do you have any paper and ink?
Oh, I think we can scrunch some up. And he collects like a few pieces of paper as well as a writing utensil and gives it to you.
Thank you. And you know what? I like to think that on this boat ride back, you know, she's really striking. I think she's really having some good conversations with Chuck and Lawrence. And I think she does tell them a bit about what Maisley told her and some of the things that she saw at the lake, and just kind of get their perspective on it too.
I'll get their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of how they might respond to that.
More. Yeah. So, just, I think she's just looking to like process some of it out loud, and like, just, and she, I think she just feels a sort of trust with Chuck and Lawrence, and she's not really, you know, she is so isolated. She is so typically walls up. And I think Vic and Lip have really caused her to kind of come out of that. And so I think she now with Chuck and Lawrence is like, I'm going to just be a little more trusting from the get-go because of what I've learned thus far. And I think she is just, yeah, I don't think she's necessarily looking for them, any answers from them. She's just kind of looking for, like, she's just bonding
Yeah.
She's just opening herself up, you know?
Yeah. I think Chuck will take it the most seriously, of course.
Yes.
He's like, please.
Yes, let's talk woo woo now.
Yeah, Chuck is like nodding gravely along as you kind of recount what's going on with you.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, that is intense.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we've been living a quiet life here on the coast. That's mm-hmm. couldn't even dream of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me neither, honestly. And I want to say that by the end of their voyage, you know, she's giving them hugs and telling them that she hopes that she will come back upon this fishing village in the future and see them again.
Aw. I also want to include one little bit. So Tucker likes to kind of circle around the boat as you guys sail on. And Tucker, you hear like this electric jolt, and you see Tucker tuck his wings in, and he dives into the water, and he comes up with a fish in his beak, and then he lands on the boat and he slurps it up.
Tucker, you little rascal. I just like to see also picture that Violet is like, there's just this scene where she's like standing, I don't know if ship terms, at the bow?
So,
top of the boat, front of the boat.
Sure. So the fore would be the front. And then stern is the back. And then port is left, starboard is right.
So kind of in the fore area.
Yeah.
And Tucker's just, you know, flying around. And the wind is blowing and the waves are. And it's a beautiful day. And Violet is just feeling like new chapter energy.